The world remembers Steve Jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. From Shanghai to London, Sydney to California, people around the globe are reacting to the death of Steve Jobs and the legacy he leaves behind. Certainly for Apple executives, there is a difficult road ahead. They need the company to move on, of course, while trying not to upset the chemistry and the spark that made Apple one of the most productive and profitable companies of the 21st century. Let's begin this morning with coverage now from Marketplace Technology reporter Steve Henn, who joins us from Silicon Valley. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
For Apple as an institution and as a business, the goal, of course, is to make great stuff. Is there a difference between yesterday and today?
Yeah, I think there is in a couple important ways. You know, it's been widely reported that Apple has a product roadmap in place that goes out years. But until very, very recently, Jobs was the final arbiter of what those products would actually look like and feel like. He had the final say before they were unveiled or shipped. And most folks who follow Apple closely don't see Tim Cook, Apple's new CEO, stepping into that role. Here's Brian Cooley from CNET.
I don't think anybody at this point has the belief that Tim Cook has the singular personal vision.
So what does that mean then, Steve, for Apple?
Well, you know, Jobs built an incredibly talented team, and there are lots of people on it who have very strong ideas and instincts about what makes great design and how users should experience technology. You know, one of the strongest is Johnny Ive. He was the creative force behind those candy-colored Macintosh computers in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And he's widely expected to step into a larger role. But whatever happens with Apple's leadership team, it's going to have to work more collaboratively and without, you know, a charismatic leader who they all defer to. So I think the dynamics are bound to change, and I think one of Tim Cook's biggest challenges is going to be figuring out how to make that work, how to retain the best people, settle disagreements, and keep the company focused.
Marketplace's Steve Henn with us from Silicon Valley this morning. Steve, thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are much higher at the moment. The Financial Times today said Europe's top banking regulator is re-examining the strength of banks there. Meanwhile, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that Europe's rescue fund will only be used as a last resort to save banks in Europe. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 131 points to close at 10,939.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
We heard this week that Apple has been knocked off its perch as the company hoarding the most cash. That honor now goes to China Mobile, which has amassed $50 billion, almost double what Apple has. So that's got me wondering what a company actually does with $50 billion in cash. I asked Marketplace senior editor and resident explainer, Patty Hearst, to come in and talk to us about it. Hi, Patty.
Patty. Hello.
Where do they put all this money? I mean, is it stacked up in some vault or in a Swiss bank somewhere?
Yeah. Well, first off, Steve, and I'm sorry to disappoint you about this because you seem really excited about that Swiss bank thing.
I was, actually, yeah.
Most of the cash that companies hold isn't cash at all.
Okay. So what do you mean? No piles of neatly stacked $100 bills?
Well, maybe no more than a briefcase or two. You see, when reporters refer to a company's cash, they're reading from a section in the annual reports that's headed cash and cash equivalents. Right, and those equivalents are things that are very liquid, that is to say very easily converted into cash, so easily, in fact, that they may as well be cash.
But it's not cash.
No. It kind of helps to think about this like a human body, right? A human body needs fuel to operate just like a company needs cash. But, you know, a human like me doesn't walk around with just a belly full of food all the time, right? We take that food and we convert it into different things, you know, say like fat under my skin or carbohydrate and protein in my muscles. Same with a company. It takes its money, okay, the cash that it earns, and then it creates reserves in the form of things like money market accounts and treasury bonds and corporate securities.
And when it starts operating?
Right, it can draw on those reserves just like a body does. So in the same way that my reserves convert to energy at different rates, so do a company's. When I start running, I might have like a belly full of pasta, okay?
Yeah.
And I burn that up really, really quickly. Instant energy, that's like the briefcases full of cash that we talked about.
Oh, okay.
You know, just like that, they convert. Next, my body is going to go for the carbohydrate in the muscles, another very quick source of energy in a company that's kind of like a money market fund. One really quick phone call and it's cash, you know, bada bing, you got your money in the bank. After that, my body starts to go for the hard stuff, the fat and also the protein in my muscles. Okay, in a company, that's when it starts selling securities.
Ah.
That step takes a little bit longer.
Treasuries.
Yeah. In order to sell that stuff, you have to find a buyer. It's a phone call. It's pretty quick, but you've got to find someone on the other end to convert those things into cash and to get your money out.
So if you were going to describe, say, Apple, the computer company, as a human body, what would it look like?
Well, it looked pretty good, right? Apple's got $76 billion in cash equivalents, and marketable securities, so it looked pretty healthy. Great muscle tone, nice shiny skin, probably a nice layer of fat to keep their body warm, and maybe even a little bit of a pot belly there. And of course, with pure cash at $2.8 billion, that's a good solid meal in its gut, ready to burn up.
Patty Hearst, senior editor, master of the Marketplace Whiteboard. Patty, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, as we remember the life and the legacy of Steve Jobs, I'm struck by a commencement address that he made to graduates of Stanford University, not too far from Apple's Cupertino headquarters. The speech was from the year 2005, just a year after he'd been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
It seems Jobs never really forgot that until he logged off from this world yesterday. We have a timeline of those products Steve Jobs and Apple brought us over the years at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
On Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, it's tough times getting by for a lot of writers, but not all of them.
I had several friends, computer science majors in particular. They were getting offered $35 an hour as summer interns before they even have their bachelor's degree.
I'm Tess Vigeland, riding the bus, talking the economy, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.